A head coaching position in the NBA is highly coveted with only 30 teams in the league. To this point, the NBA has not had a woman hired to be a head coach, but this offseason may see that change. Former WNBA stars Becky Hammond and Dawn Staley were interviewed by the Portland Trailblazers, with Hammond reportedly reaching the finalist stage before turning out to be one of the runners-up. Teresa Weatherspoon and Kara Lawson have also been connected to head coaching openings. To learn more about why the tide may be shifting and the importance of a woman becoming a head coach in one of the major men's professional sports, I'm joined by sports historian Victoria Jackson of ASU. So, Victoria, how important is it that we're seeing NBA teams showing interest in hiring women to be head coaches?
I think it's really important, and I think the time is now. If I were advising an owner or a GM of a men's professional team in the United States right now, I would say the thing to do is to hire a woman as your head coach. This is the growth area in professional sports right now. Women's sports is the growth area. And if you're the head of an organization that's a men's professional sports team, you need to have more women in leadership roles. Not only to help your franchise be successful, but also to tap into the excitement and energy in women's professional sports right now, both among the teams themselves and then also that fan base of women fans. Those are the two biggest growth areas in sport.
Now, in Major League Baseball, the Miami Marlins have a female general manager who runs the front office, and that is a huge step. How much of a difference, though, is there to have a female running things in the clubhouse, on the sidelines, really in the midst of the game? Would that be an adjustment for the male players?
I think that's the perception, and that's why it's been really great to see so many of the men who've been coached by women speak out and take public positions, like Pau Gasol writing in the Players Tribune about his experiences with Becky Hammond as an assistant at the San Antonio Spurs. Bruce Arians, who's been a leader in this space and has hired a lot of women at the organizations he's been in, first with the Arizona Cardinals with Jen Welter, and then most recently with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and having two women coaching in a Super Bowl, he likes to point out that coaching is teaching. And so if we're hiring the best teachers around, gender isn't part of that evaluation system. Another assistant coach in the NFL, Jennifer King, she likes to point out that, a voice from another perspective, that's what diversity brings you. And when we're talking about these exceptional athletes, at the very tip top, the best of the best, they're looking for any competitive advantage they can get to try to beat these other exceptional teams. And one of those ways you can get yourself a competitive advantage is having more of a diversity of opinions in the room making decisions, and to have a different leadership structure than your competitors too is really going to place you in an advantage. And we're seeing that, it's no coincidence that we're seeing, the teams that have been more invested in buying into the idea of having more women in coaching have had more success, both in the NFL and in the NBA as well.
And Victoria, the women who've been discussed publicly and who've received interviews with NBA teams, they've had impressive careers as players and coaches, just not as head coaches of NBA teams. Are they still going to have to convince the people at the top who are doing the hiring that they are, to use the phrase, better than?
Yeah, if you look at the resumes of the four women that have been talked about the most, in consideration for head coaching jobs in the NBA, Becky Hammond, Dawn Staley, Kara Lawson, and Teresa Weatherspoon, they have like all of the credentials, both as players and as coaches. The number of years that they played professionally and the number of years they've coached and had success, in all sorts of ways. Comparing that with, the old boys network and the sons of coaches who are hired and those familial ties, and also, the studies and the research around those in hiring roles, hiring the people who they're most comfortable with, and the people they're most comfortable with are people who look like them. And so we get this kind of perpetual cycle of white men hiring white men throughout the course of modern sports history, until this moment, until now. When we're looking at the history of women coaching in men's professional team sports in the United States, we don't have to go back all that far. And the majority of these hires have really just been in the last few years. And of course, they're mostly in assistant roles. That comes as unsurprising to someone who was a sport that often is a combined gender sport, track and field. If you look at collegiate track and field and other combined gender sports in the United States and American colleges, you know, you often have men in leadership roles, head coach, director of the program, and women in assistant coaching roles to those men. And it's this kind of through line, which is the assumption that, you know, men just automatically carry more legitimacy and authority in leadership roles. That's, you know, present in many sectors of our economy, but no more so than sport. You know, sport is our biggest industry in the world, with sex or gender segregation built into its categories of competition and also its teams and its leagues. So we have, in most cases, a majority of men coaching women's teams and, you know, less than 3% of women coaching men's teams, precisely because of this idea that men don't want to be coached by women. You know, men are the default and women are the add-on when it comes to sporting spaces. And it's taken decades to break down these kind of old tired stereotypes. And also women who are fearless and relentless and do have to build out these incredible rosters just to get a chance at interviewing, you know, the four women I just mentioned is the best example of that that we've seen.
One element that seems encouraging is that the NBA teams who are at least considering female head coaches are competitive organizations. They're not losing organizations. So how significant would that be if the first female head coach in that league actually didn't have to start at the bottom with a bad team?
Yeah, it signals that they're trying to set her up for success, but also that they recognize that she's a great coach and they are setting themselves up for success. So those two things in tandem make me feel really good about the Trailblazers organization. But also, you know, the pressure to be that barrier breaking first, it's a lot. And, you know, hopefully it's not an exception that proves the rule. Hopefully it's the first of many. And if Becky Hammon is successful, which, you know, given the opportunity, I'm sure she will be, then we'll hopefully see many more teams in the NBA realizing, you know, they need to go down this road too.
That is Victoria Jackson. She is a sports historian and clinical assistant professor of history at ASU. Victoria, always nice to catch up. Thanks so much for the time.
Likewise. Thank you, Steve.